Your Daily Scholarship is brought to you by EE College Essays, helping you identify and communicate your unique personal strengths through your college essays. Find me at www.eecollegeessays.com and follow me at EE College Essays on Facebook and Instagram for tips and advice on essays and college admissions.
This is Dave, the Scholarship Coach, with Your Daily Scholarship for Friday, April 5th, 2024. Today marks the two-year anniversary of the launch of the Your Daily Scholarship podcast. Over the last 2 years, we've featured more than $2.3 million in scholarship opportunities. To celebrate this milestone, we want to share some of the best tips and suggestions that we've received from several of our expert guests who've been featured on the show. Most of these tips will be helpful for any student, and many of them will be especially helpful for current high school juniors in the class of 2025. Our first tip comes from Dan Sinowitz, aka the College Dude, and he shares with us the one mistake you cannot afford to make when paying for college.
Imagine, if you will, you're shopping for a home. You find it. You tour it. You think it's within your budget. Your spouse falls in love with it. Your spouse becomes emotionally attached, and so do you. Now imagine that after looking at the printout, the closing costs, monthly payment, and every other factor necessary to buy this place, it's out of your price range. Uh-oh, did I make some kind of mistake? What do? You were pre-approved for it. You did the math in your head. Your coworker who makes the same salary as you just bought one down the road for even more money. How is this possible? More importantly, what do you tell your spouse? And how? You're faced with two options. Move forward and find a way to make this work, or say goodbye to the dream home. Either way, you're disappointed, and this situation can be a brutal one. You've made the one mistake you cannot make, and you need to know if you can right this ship. Unfortunately, it happens way more in college planning. Parent tours college with child before knowing how parent and child would pay for said school. Child falls in love with the school. The child finds out that he or she is accepted to the school. Child begins to think, okay, it's happening. Then the financial aid package comes rolling around, and mom and dad are clueless how they're going to make this work. I saw this firsthand, but on the back end, unfortunately. A couple and child came in and approached me, stating how they were over $250,000 in college debt because they chose a school and figured that they'd make it work, only to find out that it completely disrupted their lives. I'd say you cannot get emotional in this process, but everyone knows that it's impossible to do. Home buying, college searching, leaving a job for another one, these decisions are all driven by emotion, but they also have a financial impact. But isn't there some power in the idea of background work before doing one of these things? Yes, there is. If the spouse in my home buying example had known that the home was a financial impossibility, could he or she have fallen in love with the home in the first place? If the child and parents I had met with knew that the net cost would have meant $250,000 of debt, would they all have continued down this path? We may not be wired to think emotionally more so than rationally, but we learn to make buying decisions emotionally. Think of your most recent discretionary purchase. Then think of your most common discretionary purchase in the last month. To be clear, I don't consider something you're forced to pay, such as taxes, to be a purchase. For me, it's often basketball shoes. I only buy one brand, and that's Puma. I'd be lying to you if I said I don't have an underlying loyalty and attachment to that brand. One could argue it's irrational and emotional. Do I need a new pair of Puma basketball sneakers? No. But I feel good when I buy them. It's a dangerous feeling because it's something I know I can afford. But at what cost? And to me, that's the million-dollar question. At what cost? The mistake we've made is we've let emotion cloud our rationale. When you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. So are you okay that your child is going to the school of his or her dreams when it could mean delayed retirement for you? Or junior living in your basement for a while? As long as you know that's the case, then there isn't a problem here. But you should know that. I've talked about it before. Finding a college entails social, academic, geographic, and financial fit. If one of those is missing, you're probably set for a very expensive mistake, among many other potential problems. If you can avoid this, why would you not try to avoid it? Have you ever shopped for a car? It's a brutal process, right? You walk in feeling like you're going to get raked over the coals. There's a reason why used car salesman has the reputation that it does. So if our guard is up then, which it should be, why is it not up when we're shopping for college? If you were buying a nice used car or a new car every year for 4 consecutive years, shouldn't you have your guard up? If you're currently looking at colleges, understand that this is a group effort. You must be aware of the importance of college choice. The most expensive mistake you can make isn't just financial, but it's also one that could create tension between you and your child. Sports agents don't just get their clients the best money deal. They work with their clients to consider all the factors involved. I try to take that same approach with my clients. Consider everything in front of you and shop wisely.
Next, we're going to hear from Alicia Piper of College Redefined about my favorite strategy to save money on college, besides scholarships, which also increases the possibility of getting into the college of your choice. She's going to talk about how high school students can earn college credit.
So AP and dual enrollment are what a lot of people talk about today. Dual enrollment would be doing college classes while you're in high school. And I did do quite a few of these. They're really useful. So I was in a class with college students doing the exact same work as them. And at the end of the day, we both got credit for it. I was just doing it while I was in high school. AP classes are a little bit different. They are a high school class, but then you take a test at the end and can get college credit for it, as you're familiar with. So those are kind of the two big ones that especially public schools will push nowadays if they have a program like this. Mm-hmm. But there is actually a whole other aspect that not a lot of people know about. And that is through an organization called the American Council on Education. So that organization is the organization that determines what college credit technically is. They set our standards. Okay. And so there are a ton of course providers that are just normal businesses providing courses that have said, hey, let's go to the ACE or the American Council on Education and let's ask them to approve our course for college credit. So therefore, by taking their courses, you can earn college credit. And a lot of these you can do sometimes a bit faster than a semester course. And a lot of times they're cheaper as well. So some of them are an actual course that you take and you have an instructor. Other times it's you self-study and take a test at the end. But at the end of the day, you're still getting college credit. And these ones generally cost between, some of them are actually free up to maybe like $200 a course, which compared to like $1,500 a course for in college is a pretty nice discount.
Students who have a clear personal narrative, a cohesive story about who they are, what their college and career goals and dreams are, and can list achievements that prove their interest and ability to achieve those goals, have a much greater chance of winning more scholarships than a student without direction. Next, Grant Johnson of No Freaking Idea shares with us how students can learn to find their personal narrative.
The 7-step plan that everybody goes through involves exercises that they're doing, that involves external, they're talking to other people, as well as some reflective exercises, just questionnaires that they're going through. And so the pathway that they're taking, number one, we're going to help them come up with 5 possible careers. And the reason behind that is if you have much more than 5, it's too many to work with. But if you only have 1 or 2, a lot of times you get pigeonholed, you're beating your head against the wall trying to do this one right thing, and you're unwilling to pivot. So that's the first thing, is they're going to come up with 5. After that, we're going to help them choose 1. And we're only choosing it for now, might not be your end destination. But what we found is, like, if you have a goal, regardless of if it's what you end up doing, it initiates the progress and you're able to start taking steps towards something, and then pivots might happen. And that's great. But a lot of students just need to feel unstuck. So that's one of the things they'll get, is they'll feel unstuck. And then the third thing is they'll investigate that idea, that chosen idea. They're going to perform informational interviews. We walk them through how to do that, how to research things, the best books on certain topics, and just kind of learning about the work environment that they're interested in. And then if they continue to like it, it's like green light still. Step 4 is they're going to actually prototype it. And we talk a lot about prototyping. There's a cool story in Designing Your Life, which is one of my favorite books on the topic. And they talk about this woman named Elise, who her whole life, she visited these like cafes in France and loved the whole experience there. She loved sitting in the cafe, eating all the things. And so she decided, she had been in corporate for over 20 years. And she's like, well, I'm going to go start my own cafe because that's my dream environment. And so she took the steps to do it and built all the things. And one of my favorite lines is, it's like, it was a raging success and she was miserable. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the idea of the fourth step, is how can we invest as little as possible to learn about it, to sample what we think we'll like, and then actually figure out how we feel with it. Because one of the ideas I've been learning about as kind of creating this course is, we think we know ourselves a lot better than we really do. Mm-hmm. And so what prototyping allows us to do is actually figure out, what do we think we like versus what do we actually enjoy while we're doing the task? And then, so step five would be, if you've prototyped it and you love it, how do you go land your dream job? We talk about interview skills, we talk about resumes, all just the basic sort of stuff of landing a job. And then the sixth step and seventh step have to do with reevaluating that path and growing the skills that you need for that career path.
So what should college-bound students, particularly those in the high school class of 2025, be doing this spring and summer? Well, college admissions expert Jason Hand shares some of the highlights from his college planning timeline.
The earlier you start everything, especially in terms of visiting, the better, because the visiting just is a very time-consuming mm-hmm. process. You know, we visited a couple of schools that were 4 hours away, and it's, you realize that that's a long ways away and it's a lot to do in a day. And you realize you really have to kind of stay overnight. And so just generally speaking, if you're starting this process now and you have a junior, what you really should start doing is visiting some schools. Mm-hmm. And what you want to try to do, if your child is really not sure about where they want to go, is start talking about distance from home. What are they comfortable with? You know, my daughter went to sleepaway camp for years. She was comfortable being away from home. Mm-hmm. But even with that, she realized that she wanted to be within a reasonable driving distance because she wanted to be able to, you know, kind of see us and have us come down uh-huh. and go to games and stuff. So, but you want to look at initially schools in different genres, I call them, you know, maybe a large public university to see if a large school should be in play, or is it too overwhelming, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe a small private school, you know, something that's 3,000 to 5,000 students with a really nice campus. Maybe a school in a city, if you have a kid who's comfortable being in a city, maybe they want an urban environment with more things to do. You know, being at the University of Pittsburgh in the middle of a major, major city is very different than being at Penn State, which is in the middle of sort of its own sort of city, right? Which
right.
Is so, and then as you do these visits, you start narrowing down what your kids want and like, and then you make your lists based on those visits. So initially it's discovery process. You know, you don't have to know where your kid's going, but just get out there and see things, because I equate this to a home search. You know, you're looking for a place to live. Yeah. You want to go look at houses, you see them and you go, that's not what I want. Wait, this is really what I want. So I think it's really helpful.
In addition to finding the right college, we have to think about how we're going to pay for it. There are many reasons that students should start applying for scholarships as juniors in high school, or even earlier, and one of those reasons is the full tuition scholarship that our next guest, Amy Lucas from the Bryant Cameron Education Foundation, shares with us.
We accept 3,000 total applications. You know, we're a small team. We don't want, you know, 0.01% of the people who apply to receive our scholarship. So we limit the number of applications we will receive to 3,000. We strongly encourage people to apply as soon as they can. Don't wait till the last minute, because we rarely stay open till our final deadline. What we're looking for are young individuals who want to make an impact on the world around them. And that's a very vague description, but what we want people to do is know what their passions are and also know what their unique skill set is. So if that's in the arts, if that's in the sciences, if you want to go into politics, if you want to be a poet, using your unique skill set to make this world a better place. So we don't specify what people have to study. We don't specify what college they have to go to, but we're really looking for people who want to make the world a better place. So we're open to juniors. We open in February of your junior year. You have to have a 3.7 unweighted cumulative GPA. You have to be a U.S. citizen. That's one of our requirements with the IRS. And finally, you have to be starting college in the fall of 2025. So when we open in February, that will be for juniors, current juniors. And then the only caveat to that is if you're taking a gap year and you plan to enter college in the fall of 2025, you can apply with this class.
If you have a student in the high school class of 2025 who meets the eligibility requirements for the Brian Cameron Scholarship, I'd like to invite you to learn more about my Class of 2025 Scholarship Coaching Program. I'll work with the student one-on-one to build their personal narrative, the foundational key to winning scholarships. Plus, every month the student will get a personalized and curated scholarship plan. And best of all, I'll work with the student one-on-one to perfect their applications and essays for up to 10 scholarships per month. The program's very limited in availability, so don't delay. You can find a link to that program in the show notes of today's episode, or go to nodeccollege.teachable.com and look for the Class of 2025 Scholarship Coaching Program. Finally, be sure to join us again tomorrow for Your Daily Scholarship, when I'll be interviewing college admissions essay expert Aaron Edwards of EE College Essays.